The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Re'eh. In the beginning of the Sedra, states as follows. Re'enechin esen lifneichem ayom brocho klolo es ha-brocha asher tishmu el mitzvah Hashem elekeichem asher anechi metzav eskem hayom. I am setting before you today blessing and curse. The brocha is if you will listen to the mitzvahs of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today. Va'klolo im leisishmu el mitzvah Hashem elekeichem. And the curse is if you will not listen to the commandments of Hashem. V'sa'atem min haderech asher anochi metzav eschem hayom. And you will turn away from the derech, from the path, which I have commanded you today. L'oleches acharei elohim acherim asher lo yedatem. And you will go after gods of others, which you do not know. Now it states, it starts speaking about all mitzvahs. I have set before you the mitzvahs. If you fulfill them, it'll be a brocha. If not, it'll be a klolo. And then it states, and you will turn away from the path which I have commanded you. And it should say, and you will not keep my mitzvahs. But instead it says, you will turn away from the path which I have commanded you, and you will walk after other gods, gods of others. So it ends up speaking about serving other gods, which is known as Aveda Zara, the serving of alien gods, idolatry. Rashi brings, Holomarito, Shekola Eved Avedis Kechovim, Harehu Sor Mikola Derech Shinistav Yisrael. From here we learn that if someone serves other gods, he has not transgressed one mitzvah in the Torah, but it's as if he has transgressed all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, all Tal Yag, 613. Because we start speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you must guard my mitzvahs, you must keep my mitzvahs. But if you will turn away from my mitzvahs and you will go and serve other gods, from here we learn that if you serve other gods, it's as if you have left all of the mitzvahs which I have commanded you. Rashi continues, Mikan Omru. From here they said, Kol ameda ba'avedis kechovim kekefer b'chalatera kula. But when a person believes in idolatry, this is the same as denying all 613 mitzvahs, the entire Torah Kula. Then, if we continue a little further, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Ela Achukim Vamishpotim, Asher Tishmarun La'aseis Ba'oretz, Asher Nosan Hashem Elokei Aveshecha L'chol L'rishto. These are the statutes and laws which you shall guard in the land which Hashem, the God of your fathers, has given to you to inherit. Kol ha'yomim asher atem chayim al ha'adama, all of the days in which you live on this earth. Abei te'abdun es kol ha'makemes asher obdu shom ha'goyim. When we come to Eretz Yisrael, we are commanded to destroy. Now it states, Abed te'abdun. That means utterly destroy. Rashi says, Abed be'achakach te'abdun. Mikam la'eker avedis kovim shetzorach l'sharis achareho. It's not sufficient merely to destroy. You have to destroy it and then uproot it entirely. All of the places where the nations who occupied Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, served their gods. Asher atem yorshim esom es eleihem. Ale ahorim aromim be it in the great mountains, Vialagvos, hills, Sachas called Eitzranon, or beneath the trees, when he touched them as Mizbechosa, and you shall utterly break their altars, Bishibaltem as Matzevosam, and you shall utterly break their monuments, Bashereham Tisrfunva Esh, and you shall totally burn their trees and plants that they worship, Sile Aleham Tigadehun, and all of their idols you shall totally destroy. Vibaratem Eshmomin Amokamahu. And not only that, but even the names you shall destroy. The simple sense of the names means that you should utterly destroy all of the idolatry and all of the foreign gods that is in Eretz Yisrael, that nobody will even remember that it was there. You know, today in Eretz Yisrael you have your mosques and your convents and your churches and so forth and so on. That nobody will even remember that it was there. But the Chazal learn another halacha from the fact that you shall destroy even their names. Lekaneis lohem shem legenai, Rashi brings. Beiskalya korin lo, beiskalya ein kol ein kotz. You shall take their names of their idolatries and mock them. Give them another name which is similar to the name, but in a fashion in which it's insulting and mocking to it. But all of this you must not do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Excuse me.
Then we have a little further by Shlishi in Yud Beis Posuk Chof Tes. Ki yachis Hashem elekecho es hagoyim asher atovoshom el reshes esom biponecho. When you chase out the goyim, the nations, when Hashem chases them out from the land which you are to inherit, and you will dwell in their land, hishom elecho pentinok esh achareihem acharei hishom dom biponecho. Be careful. Be careful that they shall not remain there, lest you become tripped up in their ways. They influence you in their ways of serving idolatry. Ufentidreish leleihem. And lest you start to search for their gods. Lemor echo yabdu hagoyima ele es eleihem. And you will ask, let us go see how they serve their gods, and perhaps we will also serve these gods. Rashi says that you should be careful after I have destroyed them. Yesh lecho losei slave. You should pay heed. Mipnei ma nishbanu elu. Why were these nations destroyed? Because of all of their evil ways. Then it states further, you shall not do this to your God. You should not follow in their ways, because all of the abominations which the Almighty hates, this is what they do when they worship their own gods. Ki gam es b'neihem es b'neiseihem yisrufu v'esh leleihem. When they serve their own gods, they will even burn their own sons and daughters to their own gods. What does it mean, gam? Also their sons and daughters. Rashi brings, mm-hmm. Not only will they offer their own sons and daughters, but even their fathers and their mothers. Omar Rabbi Kiva, אני ראיסי אקו מאחות שכוף עושה לא אוביב לפני קלבוי ואחולי. Kiba said, I once saw an idolater where he tied up his own father in front of wild dogs and the wild dogs ate him. In other words, the Almighty is telling us, don't be deceived. You'll come into Canaan, you'll see the mighty nations there. Zainumai, seven great nations. Lamed Aleph Melochim, 31 kings. And they went backwards. Eretz Yisrael was the prime of the world. And you'll say, there's such wonderful nations, such beautiful nations. Look at the civilization they have. And we must follow their ways. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll tell you what their ways are. Their own sons and daughters they will offer up to their pagan gods, or be it their modern gods, even their fathers and mothers. Then the Torah continues in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis. Ki yokum bikir b'chon novi ocholim chalom. If a person will stand up amongst you and he will claim that he's a prophet, he's had a prophecy, or he's had a vision, a dream, and we will ask him, what's the proof? And he'll do a wonder. He'll do a wonder, a miracle, magic. And you have these people all of the time. They'll come and they will say that I have been sent by the Almighty. The fact is, someone told me, who was an expert in foreign religions, that all religions started that way. He said, by a single person showing up, coming off a mountain, coming out of the woods or someplace, by saying he had a vision, he had a communication. People didn't want to believe him. He showed magic signs. And then he started to teach. And around him gathered disciples. And from there grew great religions. Now, I know of a number of such religions, but this person who was an expert in these told me that all religions started that way. That's why the Torah so many times emphasizes, and the Rambam brings, that our Torah was not that way. But you all saw, you all came to Har Sinai. 600,000 men, besides women and children and old people, millions of men, the Torah emphasizes. And you all heard me speak. It wasn't one person came and said, I had a vision. You all heard me and you saw me. This was the only religion that ever happened that way. So here the Torah is telling us that a person will pitch up and he will say, I've had a communication, I've had a prophecy. And we will say, prove it, and he'll prove it. He'll show us a miracle, he'll show us a sign. Now, generally we'll say, it's a fraud. So disprove the sign. Usually many times we can. But the Torah is not speaking about that. The Torah is speaking where you cannot disprove the sign. You cannot disprove the miracle. The sign and the wonder is a sign and a wonder. In that case, we would have to listen to him. And he tells us, what is his prophecy? What is his communication? That God told us we must go worship another type of God. You must not listen to this prophet. Or el cholem achalomahu, or to this dreamer, because he is contradicting the Nevuas Moshe, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, where in the Torah it states unequivocally that we're not allowed to break any of the mitzvahs of the Torah, especially to go serve other gods. If that's the case, but he's showing wonders. Many times people will come, and they're all excited. Found a wonder maker. Found someone who can do magic. Many times it makes the international newspapers and the magazines that this one can heal people. 99% of the time it's fraudulent. But that our belief is not based on wonders. Even if it's not fraudulent, the Torah says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us. He wants to know how much is he worth to you. He's worth to you he's worth to you a wonder. Where if someone can show some magic trick or a wonder, so then the whole emuna of all of the generations goes out the window. The Rashi brings maybe you'll ask that if it's not true, so why is the Almighty giving him the power where he can make a wonder? That's no question. Like it states in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us. Is our whole belief from Avraham Avinu and from Moshe Rabbeinu and all through the days, it's built on a wonder? And when someone will come and show us a wonder, then it all goes out of the window. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing you to see if you really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your hearts and all of your lives. Acharei Hashem Elokeichem teilechu, you shall walk only after Hashem. Ve'aseh sirou, and he you shall fear. Ves mitzvesav tishmeru, you shall listen to his mitzvahs. Uvekolos ishmou, and you shall listen to his voice. Ve'osos avodu, and he you shall serve. Uvo sid bokun, and to him you shall cleave. Many times people come. Someone came to town, and he's a wonder maker. It's a big deal. Just is no big deal. Either way, if he's a fraud, then he's a fraud. If he actually knows magic, let's say he really knows magic, then he's a machashev. Then he's a machashev, a sorcerer that the Torah says you should put to death. If he's really a wonder maker, and he is saying, he's telling us something against the Torah, then he's what is known as a Novi Sheker. Then he's a real prophet. But he's a Bilam. He's a false prophet. He should also be put to death. So what's the big deal? Excuse me. V'anovi ahu, ocholem acholem ahu. This prophet, or this dreamer, you must, shall be put to death. Because he has spoken falsely, fictitiously, on Hashem, your God. Because Baruch Hu said, here I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of slavery. And now because a wonder maker shows up and everything I did is gone. Are you so fickle? Is this my nation? And therefore this Novi should be put to death because he is trying to ladichacho min aderech to mislead you and to make you go astray from the way which I have commanded you to walk in. Uviata orami kirbecho, and you should remove this evil from within you. Then we go further. Says ki yisischa achicha. This is an pasuk zayin. Benimecha ovincha evitcha o eshes chekecha o reacha asher kenafshecha baseis lemor. If your brother from your father, or your brother from your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or your wife, or your friend, your close friend, will come and they will try to influence you. They will try to convince you. And they will say, "Nelcho v'navdo elim acherim." Let us go and serve other gods. They'll say, "Look, there's a new guy in town, and he's got a very, very good following, big following. And what he says is all kind of promises and good things. And they're having a meeting tonight. Let's go." Nelcho v'navdo elim acherim. Let us go and serve other gods. Asher lo yodato ato v'avishecho. Types of religions and gods which you or your fathers did not know. Rashi brings, what does it mean? Lo yodato ato v'avishecho. Dovze genai godel huloch. This is a great disgrace to you when you do such a thing. Shafa aku me minichin masher mosr lem avishehem. Even the idolaters will not leave what was given over to them in tradition by their fathers and forefathers. You even speak to an idolater, they'll tell you, "Well, this is what my father always said to do." And this one is saying, "Let us leave what our forefathers gave to us." Whether it's from the gods of the nations which are near you or far away from you. Mikseoritz vat kseoritz, whether it's any of the celestial beings. What does it mean, the close ones or the far away ones? So Rashi says something which is very, he brings, which has great insight. Meitivon shel kreivim ato, meitivon shel kreivim ato loma tivon shel rechekim. Why do we see people go all the way to India, or all the way to Asia, or all the way to China to look for alien cultures? Not enough alien cultures right here. What do they go so far for? Because here they know it's worthless. Far away, there it could be worth something. Therefore the Torah says, from the close ones or the far ones, just like you see in the close ones, they're worthless. You should know the ones far away are just as worthless. If a person comes and tries to convince you or entice you to do this, this is considered the most terrible aveira in the Torah. Leisoches einchalov, you shall not have rachamim, compassion on him. Leisachmav leisechasolov, you shall not cover it up. Ki horeg tahargenu, but you must see that the death penalty is given to him. Yotkop tiyave v'reishayna lamisay, you should be the first. Yad kolom ba'achreina. Uskalta ba'avonim v'meis, he should be put to death through stoning. Because he has tried to make you go astray to foreign gods from Hashem Elokecha, who has taken you out of Mitzrayim from the house of slavery. And all of Israel should listen and fear in order that this should not happen again in Israel. Now, this is what is known as the Macy's. The Macy's, one who tries to convince another person to go, they will go and serve other gods. The there are chumras, great severe halachas, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu set down in this Torah to deal with the Macy's, that we find in no other place. For example, even if he was not successful in convincing the other person to serve idolatry, he still gets the death penalty. Even if he or the other person didn't serve idolatry. from the Dibur Levad, from the fact that he spoke of this in itself. Secondly, Ein Tzorach Hasro, the Mesis does not have to have a formal warning, which is the exceptional case of all capital punishments, with the exception of one other, because the Almighty held it was so evil. He has to have only a little warning, but a formal warning, like one must have in all other cases of capital punishment, he does not have to have. And another chumra, another example, by all chayvei misa shebetorah, by all capital punishments in the Torah, you must have proper warning, like we mentioned. There must be proper witnesses, but you're not allowed to set up witnesses. You're not allowed to set up the person. This is called machminin lehem edim. By the Macy's, one is permitted, and it's a mitzvah. We have to have witnesses. If the person comes to Beis Din and said, this person has been trying to convince me to serve idolatry, so the Beis Din will say, well, we need witnesses. He says, well, were there witnesses? He says, no, there were no witnesses. The Beis Din will tell them, get two witnesses, set him up. Get two witnesses, let them hide themselves, and you go to him again, and let us hear him do that. Let the witnesses hear, and then we will have witnesses to testify, and then we can put him to death. We see the enormous severity that the Torah has looked at the Macy's in from this viewpoint. Now, we'll see even more. There's what is known as not only a Macy's, but even where it's there's the possibility where a whole city in Eretz Yisrael goes to serve other gods. And that's what the next parsha deals with. Although the Gemara brings there are an enormous amount of conditions that have to be met, and according to one opinion, these conditions have never been met or will never be met, and therefore this is basically theoretical. But at the same, from the same point of view, we see what the severity is. States ki sishma ba'achas orecho asher Hashem elakecha meisin lachol Hashem v'shom lemor, that if you hear in one of your cities in Eretz Yisrael, which you dwell, yotzu anoshim b'nei v'liyahu, evil people came from the city itself, mikirbecho, v'yadichu es yesh v'irom lemor, and they came and they influenced the people of all of the people of the city to go astray. Let us go worship gods that we have not known till now. Sanhedrin, the courts have to go into it, they have to deliberate, they have to investigate well. And it's true. This abomination has been committed. The halacha is that Klal Yisrael has to go to war against the city. They have to initiate a military campaign, and they have to totally annihilate the city. Achrei meisov es kol hashebo ves behemta lefi chorev ves kol shlola tikbites. They have to totally annihilate every person in the city, and they cannot take anything from the city. But they have to bring everything to the center of the city, and the whole city is burnt with everything in it. And not only that, but they are forbidden to rebuild the city again. And they're not allowed to take anything from the whole city for themselves. In order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall turn from his wrath. Rashi brings here, what do we see here? That she calls man shavedizorah ba'olam. Whenever there is, if there is, as long as there's idolatry in the world, charein af ba'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger is in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then will return from his wrath. V'nosen l'cho rachamim, and he'll give you rachamim. What does it mean? He will give you rachamim. He will give you compassion. The following, the rest of the pasuk states, "V'richamcha v'yirbecha kasher nishba lamisecha," and you will be able to have compassion, and he will have compassion toward you, and he will multiply you like he has promised your fathers, when you will listen, because you have listened to his voice, to guard all of the mitzvahs Hashem, to do what is upright in the eyes of Hashem. What does it mean he will give you compassion? Mentioned that last week, this past Saturday night, was a very dear, esteemed friend and Rav, Rabbi Alois Yortzeit, Zichrei Livracha. So he once asked me that question here in Parshas Re'eh. We used to sit right next to each other. And he said, the answer is because in order to execute this mitzvah properly, you have to have a tremendous amount of uxorious, a tremendous amount of ruthlessness. A Jew has to kill a Jew, and everyone in the whole city. In order to do this, you have to actually turn off the rachamim that one has. So Kodesh Baruch Hu promises, you will not remain cruel and ruthless after you do this. I will give you rachamim in order that you can carry on to be rachmonim, compassionate people. And last year at this time, there was a Rebbe here, and he's also here this year at the same time, from Eretz Yisrael, who is a descendant from the sons of Rav, who was a great Rav, and also a head of a great Hasidic dynasty. And I told him this, and he showed me where this is written in the Or Chaim. So, here we have a number of parshas that are basically, we see two things from them. One is, well, there's two facts. One is, it's all dealing with Avodah Zarah, the serving of alien gods. And secondly, the other fact we see is the enormous hard line, extreme hard line, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes when it comes to dealing with the Avodah Zarah, which if one would go into, is very surprising. Because today, we take it with a grain of salt. First of all, many of us think there's no Avodah Zarah left in the world. This is paganism, and today we live in the 20th century or the 21st century, so there's no paganism left. So this is a thing of the past. That's not true. It's not true. The whole world are pagans, with one exception, Klal Yisrael, as we'll see. And Avodah Zarah very much is present. Secondly, we become accustomed to it. Baruch Hashem, we don't become accustomed to practicing it, but we become accustomed to tolerating it, because we are so surrounded by it. And there's not that much we can do actively. But Lemana Emes, for the sake of truth, it's very important to get the Torah's viewpoint towards this, because this is what has to be inculcated in a Jew. Excuse me. Belief that when we speak about Avodah Zarah, we're not talking about anything sophisticated. We're talking about Avodah Zarah that was in Terach's time. You made a statue, you gave him a name, and you went and bowed to him. And today we're beyond, far more sophisticated than beyond that. But Avodah Zarah is more than that. The Rambam brings book in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in Perek Aleph, he elaborates how Abraham turned the world from serving Avodah Zarah. It was in Avraham's time that the whole world, with the exception of a few individuals, were all practices of Avodah Zarah. In Perek Beis, he starts to explain what are the bounds of Aveda Zara, just what is idolatry. And we will quote a few halachas from Perek Beis. Ikarat Tzivui, Ba'avedis Kechovim, the main commandment when it comes to serving idolatry, well, it's called Avedis Kechovim. Kechovim, actually the original, the origin was Avedis Mazoles, Kechovim or Mazoles, serving of the celestial beings, because that's how it started. Sholeilaved Echon Mikol Habruim, that one is not allowed to serve any of the creations. Le'malach, not an angel. Now when it says Le'galgel, not one of the celestial beings, the sun, Le'kechev, not a star, Le'echod me'arba yisodas, not any natural force, but Le'echod me'kolan nivroim, not any of the creations, included a man. A person serves a man, he believes a man has supernatural powers, or an angel he serves, or some type of saint, or some spiritual force, or some physical force. This is all Aveda Zara, idolatry. We call it idolatry. Actually, idolatry is not the correct translation of Aveda Zara. Aveda Zara means an alien worship. Idolatry, we called it idolatry because that was a common practice of alien worship. But the mitzvah of Aveda Zara is an alien worship. Now what happens, many times they'll say, well, the person knows there's a God, except this is his vehicle to come through God. Even if the person, that's not the case in most cases, but even if the person knows that there's a God in the world and he believes there's a God in the world, but he is serving this force, be it whatever, any force that's created, he is serving this force merely as a vehicle to come to God. He says, this is what the Dorsh Derishal Emesh was. And this he explained in the previous chapter. He says, how was it that a whole world moved over to alien culture? And then he explains, because everyone had believed in God. From Odom HaRishon, they all knew. But then stood up false priests, and they said, look, the Almighty created the sun. You know what kind of force the sun is? He created these stars. It created the moon. We must give praise to them. And through that, we will serve Hashem. Then, as the generations went on, false prophets stood up and said that the sun communicated with me, the stars communicated with me, and said this is how we should serve them and this will be praise to the Almighty. And then he says other generations went by and false prophets stood up and they communicated and they said this is how we should serve, build them temples and so forth, and they forgot about Hashem. But the Dorei Emesh knew about Hashem. He says, this is the Aveda Zara of Derishal Emesh. This is Aveda Zara. And that's what the Torah says, Pentisa inecha shemai varisa sashemesh ashecholak hashem elekeko isem lochol amin. Lest you look up into the heavens and you see everything I created and you start to serve that what I created instead of me. That they'll see all of the wonders in the world and they'll say, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to serve them. Actually, the Rabban writes that the idolater, so-called idolater, this that we're speaking about, was actually on a greater level than the kafir, than the atheist, which we have plenty of today. Why? He says, because by the idolater there was always what was known as Elakor de Lakor. They served their gods, But there was a God above that God. But the Kafir, the denier, the applicators, there was no one. That's the evolutionist. He says that was worse. Now, that's why the Torah said, the Rambam writes, guard yourselves, lest your hearts become turned away. Do not turn away to serve them, that they should be a medium between you and the Creator. Sforim rabim chiburai v'chom b'avedosa hei hikar avedosa ma'amase o'mishpatehom. Throughout the generations, the priests of these alien cultures have written many, many manuscripts, many books, how you're supposed to serve each one of their gods. Sivana HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalei likrais ba'esra sforim klal. The Torah commands that we are not allowed to even read these books. And not even give thought to them. This is how far the Torah has distanced us from Avedah Zorah. Even to look at one of their images is forbidden. As it states, Altifnu ele elilim. Ubeinyan azen ne'amar, and this is what the Torah said, which we read. Ufentidresh leileam leimor echo yabdu, lest you start to seek their ways and ask, how do they serve their gods? How do they do this? What's his ideology? What's his philosophy? Al derech avedosa heyachi afopishe nata ebdo, and even though if you won't serve it, because this brings a person to saying ve'esod gein gam ani. Is if this is how they serve it, this is their ideology, if this is their philosophy, if this is their psychology, whatever it is, I also will do it. The Rambam continues in Aloha Dalet. Mitzvahs avedis kochovim keneged amitzvahs kulehi. This single mitzvah is equal to all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, as it states, v'sisisku v'leitzasus kol amitzvahs. M'pi ashmu lomdu shabavedis kochovim akosim adabu holamareto. Then he quotes what we quoted from Rashi, shekol amedu b'avedis kochovim kefir b'cholateira kula. Whoever believes or practices an alien culture, he is denying the entire Torah. Ubechol ha-Nevim, not only all the Torah, but everything all of the prophets have taught us. Ubechol ma shenitztavu ha-Nevim, and everything that the prophets have commanded us. May Odom bat sefer Odom, from Odom Arishin till the end of the world. Shenema min hayem asher tziva Hashem b'hol ha-lederes eichem. He brings a pasuk on it. Ubechol ha-kefer ba-avedes kechovim. And whoever denies alien cultures, he is admitting to the entire Torah and what all of the prophets tell us, have told us from the beginning of the world to the end. Israel, because of this, a person who believes in alien cultures and serves them, and or serves them, doesn't have to serve them, but and or serves them, has a different halacha altogether, a different status than any other Jew, no matter what that other Jew might commit. Yisrael she'avad avedis kochavim, areyu ke'eved kechavim l'chol devarav. A Jew that serves alien cultures, he has a deen of a non-Jew. Be'ena ki Yisrael, he no longer has a deen of Yisrael. He doesn't even have the same status as another Jew who does an Aveda that calls for the capital punishment. That's what the Gemara tells us, that someone who practices idolatry or alien cultures, he is a write-off from the entire Torah. And this includes, he says, the apokorsim Yisrael. The apokorsim, those who are the atheists, do not believe. Einon ki Yisrael nedovim min advarim. They do not have a halacha of Yisrael in regards to anything. It even brings that we don't even accept them for tshuva. Apikorsim hematorim achemachshavas libam besichles dvorim shamanu at shenimtzu evrim agufe teira lahachis b'sheit b'nefesh b'yodroma v'eimel she'en b'zeh over. The apikorsim, these are the ones who say there is no God, there is no Torah, and they totally, in a disgraceful manner, set aside the entire Torah. V'osel esaperimoy, one is not allowed to speak to them. One is not allowed to enter with them in dialogue. Klal, as it states, le sikra vel pesach beso, you should not even come close to their homes. Kol amayde b'avedis kachovim shu emes, afopi shalei avda, a person who believes in an alien culture, even though he does not serve it. This is someone who in reality is cursing the name of the Almighty. And by both of them, it states, that's why both of them are set together and with their anshim and the same punishments. So here we see from the Rambam that it's not a limited, narrow vision that we're speaking about. We're speaking about individuals who deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who believe in other forces, even though they do not serve them. Certainly if they serve them. And even if they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they use other forces to serve and as a vehicle to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what is the reason for all of this? Why does the Torah take such a high hand, a strong hand? This is one mitzvah in the Torah. The answer to this is because the cornerstone of a Yisrael, of a Jew, the very first cornerstone is to know that there's a God in the world. And this is what distinguishes the Jew and the non-Jew, the Jew and the nations of the world. He gives praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Yehuda means. And not to Avodah Zarah. And this cornerstone, this distinction that Yisrael had, this is a Yerusha. This is the inheritance that we have from Avram Avinu. And this is what Avram Avinu literally gave his life for. He placed his life in danger time after time again from the mighty tyrants and the kings of those days in order to destroy alien cultures and to bring the existence and the name and the belief of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And this is why he's called Ivri. He was called Ivri because kol eilam kulu be'ever echad v'hu be'ever acher. The entire world on one side and he was on the other side. And we are called Ivri because of that. You know, the tape was turned over? Turned over, right? And the shame is Meir al Etzim. We are called Ivri for that reason. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu first revealed himself to Yisrael formally on Har Sinai with the letter of Aleph, the first letter of the alphabet. And what did he first tell us? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have other gods, gods of others. This was the cornerstone. And on this, everything else was built. And it's on this that Klal Yisrael for generations gave their life on. This is the Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God. There is no other God. He is the only God. When a Jew says Shema, he is demonstrating the denial of all alien cultures. Now, the Rambam wrote his magnificent work, the Yad Chazaka. He wrote many things, but his most magnificent work was the Yad Chazaka. That was 14 volumes which covered the halachas of the entire Torah. What does he start it with? He starts with Yisod HaYisodus, the foundation to all foundations, the Amud HaChokmos, and the pillar to all wisdom. Leida, one has to know, Sheyesh Shom Mitzui Rishon, that there is an existence of someone, a force that always existed. Umamtzi Kol Nimtzo, and from this force that always exists, all other existence comes to being. V'chol ha-nimtzoi mishamayim v'oretz u'mashe b'neihem, and everything that exists from heavens to the earth and what's between them, le'nimtzo'u elema mitos ha-metzo'o, only exists because of this force that always existed. If a person, if we could think that this force would not exist, then nothing would exist. If nothing else would exist, that he would still exist. Le'yivatel hu liftulam, he will not become void because they are void, but everything else will become void if he would be void. And what is this Nimtza? Hu Baruch Hu? It's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu She'an Novi Omer, and this is what the prophet said, Hashem Elokim Emes. He alone is the actual force of existence. He alone is the reality. Everything comes from him, and he comes from nowhere. Hu She'ateir Omeres, Ein Ol Milvadai. That's what the Torah tells us, that there is nothing else besides him as an independent entity. Hamitzi Hazer Hu Elokei HaOlam Adon Kol Oretz. And this is the Adon Kol Oretz, the God that we know. V'yudias Dover Zeh Mitzvos Eseh. And to know and understand this is the positive commandment which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, the first of the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And whoever brings to his mind that there can be another such force in the world, he transgresses this commandment, and lo yelehim acherim, and that you shall not make alien gods. V'kefer b'ikar, and this is what is known as the kefer b'ikar, in other words, to uproot the root, not to destroy a branch, but to uproot the very root of the whole tree, because zehu ha'ikar godol shehakol tolimor, because this is the root in which everything is dependent on. Now, what does he mean that everything is dependent on? This is not difficult to understand, because we have 613 mitzvahs. A mitzvah is a command. To believe in Anochi Hashem Elokecha and to deny foreign cultures and foreign beliefs, this is what is known as being Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the ultimate power, he's the ultimate king. If we do that, then there's a mitzvah, there's a king that can command, and then there's a mitzvah, then there can be commands, and then there can be a mitzvah, people who are commanded. But if we do not accept this, if we deny this, so then there's no melech, there's no king, There's no mitzvah. There's no commander. There's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. All 612 mitzvahs in the Torah, or 611 mitzvahs in the Torah, all are branches to these two mitzvahs. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yehi Lo Elohim Acherim. So if you take away those two, there's no Torah. This is what the Chazal say, called Hameida B'Avedah Zorah, it's Kefir B'Chol HaTeira Kula. If you admit to an alien culture that undermines that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, then there is no Torah. If you accept it, then there is Torah. And this is also true by a non-Jew. Non-Jew doesn't have 613 mitzvahs, he has 7 mitzvahs. But his 6 mitzvahs are dependent on that one mitzvah that he has to believe in the Almighty. If he does not believe that the Almighty is the only power in the world, then his 6 mitzvahs are not mitzvahs of Hashem. And that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, that if a non-Jew will fulfill his 6 mitzvahs because he feels they're good to fulfill, but he does not believe in Hashem, Ein zeh mechassid u'mesailam, he's not from the righteous of the world and will not have a portion in the world to come. He's a good philosopher. He's a man of good culture. He's a mechachmei olam. He's from the wise of the world. But chassid u'mesailam, but from righteous, ve'ein lachelak le'olam haba. He will not have a place in the world to come. Philosophers do not have a place in the world to come. And that's why it states, "V'aminu b'Hashem u'v'meisha abdo." The praise of HaKadosh, of Israel was, they believed in Hashem, the other nations refused to. And they believed in Moshe, his servant, that gave us all of this. And therefore we have the entire Torah. And this is why it's brought, we just mentioned this in Shabbos, it states, "V'limadetem," Rashi brings it, and last week said, "V'limadetem esemes b'neichem," you shall teach your children. It says, "Meisichin b'losh rakedish mishatinok hiskel ledaber." Once the child starts to formulate words and he can speak a little, "Ovi meisichin imay b'loshin hakodesh," his father should speak to him in loshin hakodesh, and he should teach him words and psukim. What should he teach him? First, he teaches him Torah Tziva Lonu Moshe. Then Moshe has taught us all of the Torah, and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that all of the Torah comes from the one God. Now, from here, we should also realize the great mitzvah of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it was brought that call HaMeida we call a kefir b'avedah zorah. Whoever denies alien beliefs, alien cultures, it's ki ilu b'ayde b'chol ha'teira kula. Then he is believing in the entire Torah. Because if he's believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, and then these are our mitzvahs, so then he's accepting the entire Torah. Not only that, but it's because of Yisrael that there is the Shem Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. If not for Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have vanished from the world. And this is the Yerusha, this is an inheritance that we have from Avraham, that was given to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, to Moshe. Because when Avraham came on the scene, and then the Rambam elaborates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name had vanished from the world. It was replaced by alien cultures, alien beliefs, alien practices. It was Avraham that brought it back. And it only, don't think that it wouldn't vanish again. It only remains because of Avraham's teachings, which were formalized in the giving of the Torah to Israel, the acceptance of the Torah by Israel, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. because in his time the whole world was Evdei Aveiros Hara and Kefirim, and in our time is the same thing. Don't deceive yourself to think that because today is the 20th or 21st century, that's something of the past. And today, kulanu chachomim, kulanu mevinim es haTorah, we're all maminim, we all believe. That's a great deception. It's a very great deception. And if you want it spelled out, it would sound something like this. Who are the people today that believe in the one God in accordance to what the Rambam laid down? The people of India. Now there you have, what, 1 billion people. The people of China, they have another few billion. The people of Africa, another couple billion. The Arab butchers, the German butchers. You know, Germany was, oh, that's Western culture already. They believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they butchered 20, 30 million people. They had their own, the Third Reich, they had their own ideology. Didn't have room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, that I'll guarantee you. The Russian butchers, some 30 million murders were attributed to Stalin and company, or before him. Whether they were under the Tsar, the Cossacks, or the Bolsheviks, or the Communists. Maybe the Polish and Lithuanian Catholics and the Vatican. They're religious people. They're assisted in the annihilation of 3 million Jews in Poland, besides other people, and 6 million throughout Europe. This is not to mention what we mentioned here is only things that happened in the last century. The world is older than a century. The last 2,000 years, I mean, we could talk all night. We won't be able to scratch the surface of what the nations of the world have done in the last 2,000 years. And including the European nations, all right, you'll tell me the Orientals or the Africans there. It's a third world. First world. The pogroms, this is from the Germanic people. The pogroms, the Crusades, which was under the church. The positions, which was under the church. The expulsions. And then we come to the modern West. Modern West. The evolutionists, from a perspective, are worse than all of them. Oh, Baruch Hashem, they haven't. I mean, it must have been that Hitler and the others must have been evolutionists also, because they couldn't very well exercise, they couldn't very well commit such crimes, and at the same time believe that there's a God in the world that's looking at them. But you have the evolutionists of the modern West who are the greatest kofrim. Not only do they believe, they don't believe in a vehicle to the Almighty, but there is no Almighty. There's no mitzvah. The world is a case of consequences, of haphazardness. There's no beginning, there's no end, there's no Baal. Avram's great chiddush was that he saw the Bira, he says, who's the Baal Bira? You see a palace, there must have been someone who's a balabos. So you search for the balabos. They said there's a palace and there's no balabos. None whatsoever. So Sefker. All of these have totally eliminated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or sidelined HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the picture and his mitzvahs. And they would have to. Otherwise it would be impossible for them to commit what they have committed. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name remains in the world, that's from Avraham Avinu to Klal Yisrael. Otherwise it would totally have vanished. That's why the nations of the world want to eliminate Yisrael also, because they're in their way. Now, what are the consequences? What are the ramifications of Aveda Zora? Now, besides the fact that it's the Sheker Anora, it's the great lie, and that itself destroys the world, because the world, Olam Emir Ale Emes, pillar of the world is truth. And besides the fact that it's Mesalikas Hashchina, it drives out the Shechina. And the Harein Af, like we mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger burns as long as the Aved is all in the world. And if there's no Shechina, there's no Baruch Hu's Churban. But besides all of that, there's another ramification, and this will help us to understand the world that we live in. If there is no king, these are the people that deny the kingship to the king. They have revolted against the palace. They have driven out the king. You drive a king out of the palace is hefker, there's nobody in charge. If there is no king, then there's no shefet. The melech is the melech hamishpot. Then there is no shefet, there's no judge. If there's no judge, there is no mishpot. Then there is no law. There is no authority. Where there is no longer any law or authority, called Isha Yosher Be'enav Eise, everyone does what to him seems the best thing. And this means that there is no one to be responsible to be accountable to. There is no higher authority except oneself. The conscience of the world is eliminated. What would a world look like if the conscience of the world was eliminated? You don't have to explore, you just have to look at the world. Stalin can kill 30 million, Hitler can kill 25 million. Wars are going on every day. The nations talk big. See? It's a wonderful world. We're 21st century, 20th century, we're modern people. But there's only been a history of bloodshed throughout the world nonstop, because they have sidelined, they have successfully eliminated their conscience or the authority. They have convinced themselves there's no one in charge, we're in charge. We have in Parsha Shemos, in Shemos Aleph Pasuk Tes Vov, Paray saw that the Hebrews were becoming a threat. They were multiplying too fast for him. So he said, "Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim lam Yaldos HaIbriyos." So the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, "Ashishem Achas Shifra v'shem Ashenis Pu'ah." One's name was Shifra, the other was Pu'ah. They were in charge. This was Yocheved and Miriam, Mesha's mother and Mesha's sister. Vayomer Bialetchen Eso Ibrios Urisen Alhod Noim. He said that when you help the Hebrew women give birth, im beinu v'amita nesoi, if it's a son, kill him. Basi v'choyu, if it's a daughter, you could leave her live. Vatireno hamyaldeis es Elokim. And the midwives feared Hashem. V'le'osu kasher dibar alein melech Mitzrayim v'tchayena si'ilodim. And they did not do as the king of Egypt said, and they let the children live. The question was asked by Rabbi Elimeir Zichron Baruch Hu, the Talmid Rosh Yeshiva. But this is the same question, and the answer is also in the Gurayi, in the Maral. What does it have to say? They feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they didn't kill the children. Does it take fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to be a murderer? What, women will kill children? any civilized people do not kill children. Evidently, it does take the fear of Hashem not to kill children. And evidently, had they not feared Hashem, they would have killed the children. And how can that be? What's so surprising? People do it all of the time. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of abortions taking place all of the time in the modern world. In Western culture or Eastern culture or wherever. Here we're speaking of abortion. The same thing here. If we go after what we want, if we go after our rationale, we can become a righteous murderer. Just like the abortionists of today. In their righteousness, they kill their own children. There could be many rational reasons. We could say it's a matter of life and death. We could say that we can't get on the wrong side of Parah, because if we do, the ramifications will be even worse. We could say that if we do what he says, then we will find favor in his eyes and he'll help us. We can say, we're not talking about children yet, we will kill them just right before they're born, so they're not living yet. There could be many, many reasons. What do we have to pick our brain so much for? Just go to the most modern people and they'll tell you the reasons. Therefore, they set aside all of those reasons. And they ask the halacha. And the halacha is you're not allowed to. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reason. And therefore, Vatir'enu, because they feared Hashem, they will not kill the children under all circumstances. And this is what David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech said in his wisdom. Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem. You want wisdom. The reishis of it, the beginning of it, has to be founded on fear of Hashem. If it's founded on fear of Hashem, then you will come to great wisdom. If it's not founded on fear of Hashem, then that wisdom will become the greatest tyranny and cruelty. Do you think that Hitler didn't have an ideology? Hitler had a plan. He had to convince his people to participate in the plan. So he wrote a book for them with all type of wisdom. He knew he was dealing with a German intellectual, so he wrote an intellectual document. It was full of wisdom. And it proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it would be the best thing in the world to kill the Jews, to kill the Gypsies, to kill the Blacks, to kill the Slavs, and so forth. And the great intellects of Germany, professors, psychiatrists, scientists, accepted it. One fallacy: they didn't read Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech said, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. If a Chochma has as its source Yiras Hashem, it'll be a Chochma. If not, it'll become a tyranny. It'll become the most ruthless possible. With wisdom, you can create nuclear bombs and destroy a world. Is that the wisdom? Without Yiras Hashem, the wisdom will bring you to murder and everything else. And this was true with all of the tyrants. But communism was not a wisdom, was not an ideology. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have an ideology. Titus didn't have an ideology. My Rebbe Rav Gifter would quote what David HaMelech says, Yotzer Omo Alei Chok. Tilim Tzadik Dalet Chof. Yotzer Omol Aleichik. The tyrant frames violence by statute. The tyrant wants to do what he wants to do. But he has to have the people to follow him. There has to be the justification for it. The Third Reich was an ideal to strive for. Communism was an ideal to strive for. The justification is that he will fashion his own law that will require this violence, this annihilation. But how can he fashion his own law if there's a law of the Almighty in the world? That's very simple. We sideline on the Almighty. We deny that he's in the world, and now we're free to fashion our own laws. We see this every day. We see it in the UN. The UN is a body of law. It's a legal body. And every law has a number. And it's under the guise of so-called democracy. If we fashion that law, now that becomes the reality. That becomes the justice. What happens with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice? No, you must not mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't bring his name into the halls of the UN, which is the great chamber of justice for the world. And don't be mistaken to think that the UN is monopolized by Far Easterners or Arabs or others. There are great legal people, so-called great legal people, from the West, from South Africa and other places, that hold mighty positions in the United Nations, that frame laws in order to suit their needs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name must not be brought into it. Otherwise, this would destroy the whole business. Put them all out of business. Yotzer Omol Aleichik, he frames violence by statute. We have, in our own society, the age of permissiveness. The historians refer to our own society. Where did that come from? Where our wise ones decided what is right and what is wrong. What is right is permissible. What is wrong is forbidden. They are decided. What happens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu where he decided? Now, doesn't exist. Can there be a greater Avodah Zarah than this? Can there be a greater kafira? And we'll vote on it. It's a democracy. We live in a society today where we have such distorted and corrupt laws that a sense of justice, that I would say the most correct term would be, they're not distorted, they're diseased laws, and a diseased sense of justice. I mean, to give you an example, we have a justice system in the West, here in South Africa and in Western culture, that protects the murderer, the guilty murderer, or the guilty rapist from capital or corporal punishment. At the same time, that same code of justice will not protect the innocent one from capital or corporal punishment that is dished out to him by the murderer or the rapist. In other words, the justice system dictates that we cannot condemn a murderer to death, we cannot condemn a rapist to death, even corporal punishment. Heaven forbid. This is the justice system. So what do? We condemn the innocent victim to death and to all types of criminal acts. This is the justice system. And this only can take place when we totally throw off the old Malchus Shemayim, that there is a God in the world who has a law. And this is evolutionism. There's no God. Therefore, we can fashion our own laws. I'd like to quote the many people, and unfortunately, they're even from people who are Jewish, professors, scientists, although many of the, I would say in most of the scientific community today, the educated ones reject, laugh at evolutionism. But there are still some of the stalwarts or educationists or so forth when it comes to evolution, which is the real kfira, the real kfira. And it's an accepted fact, so-called fact in society. I have an article here. This was written in a newspaper. It was written to the newspaper. This was in 1998, so it's not too long ago. And it's written by a person who doesn't have a Jewish name. His name is Reeves, Bernard Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S. So I don't think he's Jewish. But evidently he's a very, very well-knowledgeable scientist. And it was at that time when they discovered the ape-man fossil in Sturkenfontein. And they called it, quote, staggering achievement. He says, according to Dr. Ron Clark, discoverer of the latest Sturkenfontein ape-man fossil find, it has been a staggering achievement to find, quote, the world's first ever entire ape-man skull and a skeleton, which will answer many questions concerning human evolution that continues to mystify scientists. And he brings where this is written. Without begrudging Dr. Clark his moment of glory, may we put this find into context. In his Origin of Species, written by Darwin, 1859, quote, the numbers of intermediate varieties which have existed must be truly enormous. They're trying to find the link. If man developed from a monkey, there has to be some link showing the transition period from the animal to the man. And they've been missing that link. So Darwin says the world should be full of such fossils. This is still from Darwin. Why then is not every geological formation full of such intermediate links? He blamed, quote, the extreme imperfection of the geological record, because good records were not kept. This was in 1859. In 1979, over 100 years later, Professor David Ropp, curator of geology at the Field of Museum in Chicago, wrote, Darwin was embarrassed by the fossil record. He said they didn't keep good records. We are now about 120 years after Darwin and have a quarter of a million fossil species. But the situation hasn't changed much. Still, they have not found the intermediate link which Darwin said the world should be full of. We have even fewer examples of evolutionary transition than we had in Darwin's time. This is from the Field Museum Journal, Volume 50, 1979. 3 years ago, keen evolutionist Professor Steve Jones of the London University wrote, the evidence for human evolution is still extraordinarily weak. There are no more fossils than would cover a decent-sized table. This is from the Daily Telegraph. In other words, throughout hundreds of years that they're searching for this, they got enough to cover a table, and these are hotly disputed, but enough to cover a decent-sized table. I have no doubt there still will be room on that table for Little Foot. That's the one that they found in Sturkenfontein. The staggering news is, he called it staggering news, he says the real staggering news is that after 140 years of determined searching by armies of geologists, paleontologists, and so forth to find the hard evidence for evolution, which has yielded billions of fossils, with over 100 million in the world's museums, the world's very first complete ape-man fossil has been discovered. He says that's the real Stagirinos. That if this is legitimate, with over 100 million in fossils in world museums, one has been discovered. Perhaps Dr. Clark can tell us, what if evolution be the true explanation for origins has happened to all the other ape-men transitional fossils, the number of which should, according to Darwin, be truly enormous? Where are they? Why, with such a wealth of other fossil evidence, have they not been found? Eminent evolutionary scientist Professor S.J. Gold of Harvard University tells us that intermediate fossils between all other living kinds are also missing. The extreme rarity of transitional forms in the fossil records persists as the trade secret of paleontology. Faced with these hard-faced facts, any reasonable, honest person not previously prejudiced by evolutionary ideology from education or the media world would surely conclude that the complete absence of an overwhelming preponderance of fossil intermediate between known kinds, except for the minuscule tableful of hotly disputed oddities, shows that the really crucial hard evidence for evolution by blind, mindless, purposeless, unaided chance is simply not there. He says this is the greatest proof. They've been trying to prove this theory for 140 years. If the theory is right, there should be millions of such fossils. They have millions upon millions of fossils today in the museums. And they have found maybe enough to cover one table out of the millions and millions of fossils, and each one of them are hotly disputed. Now he comes to a very good point. He says, perhaps, why do they continue to pursue this? Why do they continue to pursue it? In no other area would they pursue such a thing. Fact is, there's a professor here who's a Dati person. He wasn't a Dati person, but he became a Dati person. And he's a professor of very high standing. And he told me that his colleagues tell him today, and he's an Israeli, Israeli colleagues tell him today, that he says you have to have great emunah to be a kafir today. You have to have great blind faith to deny a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because these theories have been blown wide apart. And the facts come out in all technology, pointing that there has to be a creator. So the question is, though, this would be good for fairy tale, but these are scientists. Why do the scientists keep pursuing it? I mean, they have the evidence, there's overwhelming evidence to show that it's a lie, so why do they keep pursuing it? Scientists are supposed to be based on wisdom and fact and knowledge. That's the question, he says. That's what's staggering. Even if you find something of a proof, he says, the staggering miracle of it is not that you found it. He said, why hasn't a million of these been found? So why haven't they dropped it? So he says something very good. He says, is the problem that they do not want to accept that there is a higher authority to whom we might be accountable, which causes many to shy away from the only other possible explanation for origins that are intelligent design and creation of separate kinds by a supremely intelligent designer, creator God? He hit the nail on the head. They can't accept it. They can't chuck it out. This is the only way that they can then throw off the old Shemayim. What was the Dor HaFloga? What did they want to build the tower for? They want to throw off the old Malchus Shemayim. So how can they, if they reject that the world is without a Balabos,
So they have to accept the world is with a balabos. They don't. The whole purpose of the evolutionists is to reject that there is a balabos. So how could they reject the theory that there's no balabos? They can't reject evolution until they can replace it with some other theory that will prove the same thing. Instead of this obsession with dry bones from Sturkfontein, it's mamish, it's an obsession with dry bones from Sturkfontein, the Meshugoim. And I've spoken to scientists from the highest caliber which told me they're Meshugoim, the mamish Meshugoim, when it comes from the scientific element. And we have professors right here in South Africa that are honored because they are so well into this evolution, Jewish ones, which are the epitome of kfirah. He says, instead of this obsession with dry bones of Sturkfontein, if we opened our eyes and minds to the overwhelming evidence in living things all around us of stunningly sophisticated, staggeringly and irreducibly complex, ultra miniaturized, incredibly ingenious, brilliantly successful designs. We mentioned just in a shir before that there are over 100 billion galaxies of stars, where each galaxy has over 100 billion stars. And the latest report that came out of an international conference, there are many stars, and each one larger than the Earth or our Sun, the many stars in the universe as sands on the sea. He says, if we would open our eyes to it, it would not be hard to accept the second alternative, that there's a balabos on the world, there's a creator on the world. Indeed, extremely, extremely hard not to. Now, I'm not reading this to refute evolution. That I don't have to do. In fact, we have Torah, so we don't have to refute it. The scientists have already refuted it. That's not what I'm reading. I'm reading why do they keep for 140 years beating a dead horse? That's the problem. That's the staggering thing. So-called scientists. People of degrees from universities, professors, right here, all over. And then when they find a dry bone in Sturkfontein, one said Darwin must be smiling in his grave. See? Why for 140 years do they keep beating a dead horse? Well, we can understand if there's some people in the middle of remote China or the Central Africa that are illiterate, and this is what they were taught. And they hit it on the head. They have to. Because the whole purpose of it is to reject Ol Malchus Shemayim. So how can they reject evolution? Rashi brings in Parshas Veschanan, he brings on the Shema Yisrael, this is in Dvorim Vav Posik Dalet, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. He says, why do we say Hashem is our God, Hashem is one? This is how the Sifsei Chachomim explains the Rashi. Why do we say Hashem is our God, Hashem is one? We should just say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God. What do we have to say Hashem is one? So Rashi says like this, Hashem shu elakeinu ato vele elakeho akum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God today, but he's not the God of the world. The world rejects him. He's our God. But hu osid li yais Hashem echot. He will be one day Hashem echot. Today there are many gods in the world, as we mentioned, all kinds of alien gods. So therefore the real HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. But Hashem Echod, one day he will be one God, the one God. As it states, Ki oz epech el amim sofa brura likre kulam b'shem Hashem. Then I will turn all of the nations to one tongue, where they were all called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one. So this is the prime cornerstone of Israel, and this is the prime duty of Israel. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took such wrath against the Avdei Aved Zarah, because once someone goes off to an alien culture, then we see the ramifications that will come. His bottle Malchus Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer the Melech. His bottle mitzvahs, there are no longer any mitzvahs. There's no longer any balabais. There's no longer any authority. There's no longer any accountability. And call.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.